Because of a stint in hospital, I was unable to conclude the lectures, the live lectures on the books of wisdom. So here I am at my desk trying to complete them here, and I hope it's satisfactory. We're looking now at Proverbs chapter 15 through to chapter 24. As I stated at chapter 10, verse 1, in this section we come to the ancient core of the scroll. It's a collection of mostly single-sentence wise sayings that have their origin in the oral tradition. Each saying captures an aspect of life and aims to express an insight into how we can live a productive life in a way that contributes to our own personal happiness and success, and also to the well-being of the community. For the most part, the religious dimension is not stated, it's assumed. The focus is on how one lives wisely in the practical circumstances of one's life. Each saying aims to give expression to a value learned from life experience. It aims to get the reader to reflect on his or her life in such a way as to avoid the pitfalls and live a reflective and productive life. So they're short little sayings, and I'll necessarily have to select. And I hope the ones I've selected attract you, and maybe there's something we can still learn from this ancient oral tradition that found its way finally into the book of Proverbs. Chapter 15, verse 1 reads, "A conciliatory answer makes wrath subside. A hurtful word stirs up anger." I'm confident we all know the wisdom of that. Silence sometimes. Otherwise we react to someone's angry, hurtful word, and we say something we didn't mean and wish we hadn't said, and we half mean it. They're hurt and we tumble on and it gets worse and worse. Whereas listening respectfully and meaningfully and perhaps silently, allowing the other person to vent their concern, is a wiser way, do you think? Verse 3, "The eyes of Yahweh are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." We might fool ourselves, we may fool others, but God knows. Verse 11, "Sheol," that is the underworld, "and Abaddon," place of destruction, "lie open before Yahweh. How much more human hearts?" If God knows the dark realms of death, surely God knows my heart. Verse 17, "Better a dinner of vegetables with love than a fatted ox where there's hatred." Verse 22, "Without counsel, plans go wrong. With many advisers, they succeed." These are really just for our pondering. Here's chapter 16, verses 1 to 9, a longer section. And it reads, "The plans of the heart belong to us humans. What eventuates is from Yahweh. All one's ways may be pure in one's own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the spirit." Commit your work to Yahweh, and your plans will be established. Yahweh has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. All those who are arrogant are an abomination to Yahweh. Be assured, they will not go unpunished. By loyalty and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. By the fear of Yahweh, one avoids evil. When the ways of people please Yahweh, he causes even their enemies to be at peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than a large income with injustice. The human mind plans the way. It is Yahweh who directs the steps. Verse 16, verse 12 reads, "It is an abomination for kings to do evil. A throne is established by righteousness." Hopefully the kings of Judah, Israel, were advised that way. How they lived it is another matter. A reflection on that is a lovely reflection. That is in Psalm 72. And I'll just read you parts of that psalm, which says the same thing, perhaps more beautifully. When the prayer reads to God, "Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice." They're not the king's poor, they're God's poor. And it continues, "May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy." This is the king. "He delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy." "From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight." A reminder to us all, surely, that government is for the common good, and special care has to be offered to those who are disadvantaged. Back to Proverbs, chapter 16, verses 18 to 19. You've heard this before. "Pride comes before a fall, a haughty spirit before a stumble. Better to be of a lowly spirit among the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud." Verse 24, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste, and healing to the body." Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste, and healing to the body. And verse 16, 33, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the decision is Yahweh's alone." Just three little statements, three little lines, three little proverbs from the chapter 17, verse 6, firstly. "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged. and the glory of children is their parents. What a beautiful ancient saying that we know to be true. Verse 14, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. Stop before the quarrel breaks out. Verse 16, why should fools have payment in hand to buy wisdom when they've no mind to learn? We can put all the resources we can into education, but the key is to attract the young to want to know, to question with a view to wanting the truth. Not to question in order to question, anyone can do that, but to search, to wonder, to ponder, to be engaged in the wonderful journey of knowledge. That's the key. And he says, to repeat, why should fools be given money to buy wisdom when they've no mind to learn? Here's four little verses from chapter 18. See what you think of them. Fools take no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing their own opinion. Fools take no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing their own opinion. Verse 8, the words of a slanderer are like delicious morsels. They go down into one's inmost being. If we're not careful, we get a perverse joy about hearing lies spoken about others, prying into areas that are no business of ours. The words of a slanderer are like delicious morsels. They go down into one's innermost being. Verse 17. The one who first states a case seems right, until the other comes and cross-examines. And verse 24 says, some friends play at friendship, but a true friend sticks closer than one's nearest kin. And now three little statements from chapter 19. Obviously I'm selecting. Verse 2, determination without knowledge is not good. The one who moves too hurriedly misses the way. Say it again. Determination without knowledge is not good. One who moves too hurriedly misses the way. Verses 13 to 14 read, a stupid child is ruin to a father, and a wife's nagging is incessantly dripping eaves. House and wealth are inherited from parents. A prudent wife is from Yahweh. Obviously written from the male perspective. Yeah, you can get your house and wealth inherited, but heavens, if you've got a prudent wife, what a gift that is. And it doesn't come with the territory, it's a gift of Yahweh. Verses 18 to 19, discipline your children while there's hope. Don't give them away as a lost cause. A violent-tempered person should pay the penalty. If you get him out of trouble, you'll have to do it again and again. Advising us that we need to learn to suffer the consequences of the decisions we make. And if people keep protecting us from those consequences, then they'll have to do it again and again, because we'll never learn. Two little statements from chapter 20, from these ancient list of proverbs. The lazy person doesn't plough in season. Harvest time comes and there's nothing to be found. Verse 5, the purposes of the human mind are like deep water. The intelligent draw it up. I guess that lies behind a lot of psychiatry and psychological help. Intelligent person able to draw up what's really going on in the deep waters of our consciousness. A loving ear. Verses 22 to 25 read, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for Yahweh, he will help you. Differing weights are an abomination to Yahweh. False scales are an evil. All our steps are ordered by Yahweh. How then can we understand our own ways? It is a snare for one to make rash vows and only afterwards begin to reflect on what you've promised. And I'll conclude this section of ancient proverbs attributed to Solomon with three little statements from chapter 21. All deeds are right in the sight of the doer, but it is Yahweh who weighs the heart. Continues, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to Yahweh than sacrifice. Does the Proverbs come from the prophetic statements, for example, of Hosea in the Northern Kingdom? Or is Hosea drawing on these ancient Proverbs? They're all influencing each other. It's the culture containing all of this, including these snippets of wisdom. Verses 2 to 3 read, if you close your ear to the cry of the poor, you'll cry out and not be heard. Verse 26, all day long the wicked are consumed with desire, but the righteous give and do not hold back. So that ends part two of the Book of Proverbs. The first look at the ancient proverbs that go back into the mists of time and are attributed to King Solomon. Part 3, excuse me, from 22 verse 17 through to 24 verse 22 is an unusual section. The first part of this section, up to 23:11, there are many parallels in an Egyptian document called the Instruction of Amenemope. And so we seem to be borrowing here. And the constant use of the imperative in this short section identifies us as instruction, as distinct from wise sayings that we've seen in section 2 and we will see after the break in section 4. So let's look at these two chapters. Chapter 22, verse 22 to 24 reads, "Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For Yahweh pleads their cause, and despoils of life those who despoil the poor. Make no friends with those given to anger. Do not associate with hotheads, or you may learn their ways and entangle yourselves in a snare." Verse 23, verses 4 to 5. "Do not wear yourself out to acquire wealth. Be wise enough to stop. When your eyes light upon it, it's gone. For suddenly it takes wings to itself, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Wealth is very passing." 10 to 11, verses 10 to 11. "Do not remove an ancient landmark or encroach on the fields of orphans, for their Redeemer is strong." That is the one who has to avenge their rights. "He will plead their cause against you." Chapter 23, 29 to 35 reads, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Whose eyes are red? Reply, those who linger late over wine, those who keep trying mixed wines. Do not look at wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things, your mind utter perverse things. You'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you will say, but I wasn't hurt. They beat me, but I didn't feel it. When can I wake? I'll seek another drink." And that's pretty modern, isn't it? The woes of addiction to drink. And I'll conclude with Proverbs 24:29. "Don't say, I will do to others as they have done to me. I'll pay them back for what they have done."